All right. Hello, everybody. I'd say good morning, but it's only us on the West Coast, I guess, that it's morning for. Welcome to our call. Today, I'm going to represent ACTO, which welcomes all coach training schools across the world, accredited or on the journey, and coach trainers committed to the quality and development of coach education and training. If you're not an ACTO member, the benefits of joining ACTO are our annual conference, which is happening quite quickly in May, educational forum calls, which you're part of today, special interest groups and task forces, train the trainer resources, and a community to answer questions or accreditation and renewal, and an opportunity to share new developments in coach training. I could go through our conference details, but I think I'll wait till the end, and then once you've had a taste of what our forum calls are for those that have not participated yet. Just enjoy, and we welcome your questions, your curiosity, and I'll let Hallie introduce our speakers.
Awesome. Alrighty, so we have a bang-up call planned for today. Really excited to explore some of the, compare and contrast the core competency. There's a different name for the EMCC's framework, but it's just some performance frameworks from each of the ICF and the EMCC. We have Mayor Alexia here with us today, Mayor Alexia Margariti and Amora Ross. So let me give them a brief intro. Mayor Alexia is a corporate coach, an EMCC assessor of training providers and coaches seeking individual accreditation, and a certified psychotherapist. She studied psychology, specialized originally in the field of applied occupational psychology, and later on undertook a second master's degree in the area of integrative psychotherapy. She was trained as a professional coach at Coach U, in Solution Surfers, and in Positive Life Works. She spent a large part of her career working in the corporate world in a number of positions in human resources, brand management, and advertising and communications, both locally and abroad. For the last few years, she has established her own practice as a coach and therapist, working with individuals and groups, mainly focusing on self-development and transition process in major life shifts. She does both face-to-face sessions and e-sessions via online platforms like Skype, since her clientele is from all over Greece and abroad. She is a founding member and currently president of the Hellenic Coaching Association. She leads the work on EMCC competence, the EMCC competence framework since January of 2013. Welcome, Mayor Alexia. And Amora Ross is an MCC certified mentor coach, and she launched her coaching practice in 1997 after more than 20 years in the field of human resources. And she's a passionate champion of the human spirit and its innate potential. Amora brings a holistic and compassionate viewpoint to her students, as well as to her coaching and mentor coaching clients. Truly a coach's coach, she adds an uplifting perspective and inspiration to coach training and ongoing professional development for coaching excellence. Amora served as a senior trainer within an ICF accredited coach training program for 18 years and was that program's director of training for 6 of those years. She actively serves the coaching profession as a member of the ICF Global Standards Core Team, and since 2005 as an ICF PCC and MCC credentialing assessor. In recent years, she has served as Director of Programs, Education, and Credentialing for the ICF Washington State Chapter, as well as 4 years on the ICF Credentialing and Program Accreditation Committee. So, welcome to you both. I don't think you guys, we could go on and on about your credentials. I think we have the right people for the job for this conversation today. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
So we're going to have this call be, our intention is that it's going to be conversation. And that's the way that coaches like to do things, as I understand it. So, the first thing that we're going to ask, or I'm going to ask, is Amora, if you could just give us, just to lay our foundation here, we're going to sort of say that you're going to represent the ICF in this conversation, and Mayor Alexia is representing the EMCC. So, Amora, if you could give us the brief foundation of what's important about the ICF's competency framework in terms of the discussion that we want to have in comparing and contrasting them. What do you want us to know?
I think first and foremost, I want to point out that the ICF framework is really one that has been validated through thorough job analysis that the ICF board undertook several years ago. They're also scheduling another job analysis to be undertaken this year, and then a survey after that to really look at what is it that we as coaches are doing in the field, and how does that inform the competency framework. It's, you know, for me, in having been involved at the levels that I have in the credentialing process, it's been a process of, in 97, when I first entered the profession, you know, we had just kind of a general framework that we were working within, and then the skill set began being identified, and then through the process of the job analysis, we fleshed out the way that we articulate the competencies. So, you know, it has four domains, which is setting the foundation, co-creating the relationship, communicating effectively, and then facilitating learning and results. So, and under each of those domains are competencies that as coaches we've defined as what supports those elements of these arenas. The standards that have been evolved in ICF over the years, especially in 2010 when I was on the Credentialing and Program Accreditation Committee, there were three main objectives that were put forward from ICF Board about establishing professional standards, and they still guide that process within ICF today. And the first one is to protect and serve consumers of coaching services. The second is to measure and certify the competence of individuals providing coaching services. And then the third is to inspire the pursuit of continuous development for coach practitioners. So those three principles really guide any conversations, task forces, board discussions about the credentialing standards and the program accreditation standards. I work very closely, of course, having been part of the faculty and director of training for an ACTP, very closely engaged, I guess I would say, in the evolvement of the ICF competencies over time. And in my work on the Core Global Standards Committee, we are a group of globally located coaches who serve as subject matter experts for the ICF board on any ideas or thoughts that they're having about what kind of changes might need to be made to the competencies. And, you know, I think it's important for me to say, too, that we're still an emerging profession. We haven't yet established the basis for what would be a profession. Again, in my work on the credentialing committee, we were looking at ANSI standards and all of that in preparation for how do we take this particular modality and really bring it forward even more fully as a profession. So, you know, ethics and standards are part of that, a body of knowledge, which right now is our core coaching competencies, all of those things, but the profession is still emerging. So this discussion around, you know, alignment with coaching standards, coaching philosophy, I think is a very important one, because ours is a tender profession. And just for me, I have some concern that unless we can align globally as coaches around what it is that we're really up to in this, that this particular way of interacting and having conversations with people might get subsumed into other professions, and we lose the opportunity perhaps to really define ourselves as a separate and distinct profession. So that's what I have to say so far.
Awesome. Thanks. All right. So, Mary Alexia, from the EMCC's perspective.
Well, let me try and say something now that Amora has fully developed her statement. It's very difficult to find new words. Just to say, to clarify, I'm here based on not representing EMCC. That would be a very different process. I'm here as a person knowing EMCC competence framework, as well as I do know, not as much as Amora, of course, as I do know ICF's one, because I'm ICF accredited as well. EMCC competence framework started few years later than ICF is, let's say, more recent in the sense that as a body, as an association, EMCC started a bit later than ICF. I think what characterizes EMCC's framework when it started is not very different from what Amora described for ICF. It started with thorough analysis, close look to the profession, and extensive research in order to establish a framework that does reflect this profession and does really have also validity, as we use the word in research term. So in that sense, the starting point was with the aim to create the baseline, not only for assessing the competencies of the professionals, but also to formulate the baseline for the professionalization of the profession. And this is a significant part. And this links to what Amora just said, that we need to make sure with all of our actions in standards, in the framework, in regulatory affairs, that we create and establish a separate space for the coaching profession. A start to that is a very thorough researched competence framework. In the case of EMCC, that happened approximately 10 years ago. And of course, we are dynamically reviewing this from time to time. At the moment, there is research going on again to refresh and see whether we stand good where we stand or whether we need to fine-tune elements. That said, let me put the basics as well. The EMCC framework has 8 competencies. So the 8 competencies are the following: understanding self, commitment to self-development, managing the contract, building the relationship, enabling insight and learning, outcome and action orientation, use of models and techniques, and evaluation. So according to EMCC, these are the key core competencies. And out of them, we have a total of 112 capability indicators. These are things like behaviors, actions, reflections of what a coach should do at the different levels of accreditation in order to show that he or she is managing each one of these 8 competencies. As it might be clear, or maybe not, the 8 competencies are the same for all the accreditation levels. We do have 4 accreditation levels: foundation, practitioner level, senior practitioner, master practitioner. So the 8 competencies are totally the same. What spreads across these 4 levels, and they are different for each accreditation level, is this 112 capability indicators. So as I said before, this is not something that is set in stone, in the sense that we are looking frequently upon it and we are making sure that it does dynamically reflect the evolvement of the profession. Well, I would stop here for this for this question and see how it goes.
Yeah, that's great. So for what I'm hearing from both is that the competencies frameworks were developed based on what people, what coaches were already doing. So it was very much a coach-driven process, like, mm-hmm. let's see what these guys are actually up to, and then let's build the framework from there.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing the capabilities as, you know, we now at the ICF have our performance markers, you know, that's very the parallel there that we're pulling them out and saying, these are the things you need to do to consider yourself at this level of accreditation. So far, exactly. More same than different.
Yes. and thank you, Maria Alexia, too, for clarifying your position around being here in EMCC, because I want to clarify that as well. I'm not here as a representative of ICF. I'm simply here as an ICF member, been a member since 97, or 99, I guess it was. That was when ICF actually formed officially as a professional organization. So it's just from my experience as a trainer and a mentor coach in ICF competencies that I hear, speaking from that framework.
That's great. Thanks for clarifying that, both of you. And we have a lot of people on the call who have similarly been up to this for a very long time. So I'm very happy to see all those faces. Next question. What are some of the differences that you know, having worked with both frameworks? I just personally think that looking at differences between things is a great way to really highlight learning. And so to really get inside what we're talking about to see, oh, well, that's different than this. And just looking at those subtle differences can be really illuminating. So I think, Amora, we were going to hand it to you on this one to start.
I'll kick it off. You know, Maria and Lexi and I, and Anita, too, had the privilege of working a couple of years ago on a task force of between EMCC and ICF to look at, you know, to do competency and comparison project. And we did find that there were more similarities than differences. But one primary difference that we noticed between ICF competencies and EMCC, for example, was that in the ICF competencies, we actually bring forward humor as one of the tools for a coach to use to lighten up a situation or to appropriately, you know, engage with a client. That was one of the differences. And then I think the other place that really was different is that I think inherent in the ICF, not in the competencies themselves, but then also in the credentialing process itself within ICF, is this idea of professional development. But what we noticed about EMCC is that they actually, in their capability indicators, identify personal development of the coach as well as professional development. So those were a couple of the places that we found some differences in the frameworks. So I'll kick it all over to you, Maria Alexia, because you were the one who pulled all of our data together in that wonderful paper we submitted.
I don't have much more to add. Just maybe to explain some background differences. Interestingly, this observation on humor, our understanding of the team at the time that we were working with, Amora and Anita, is that while a global organization, of course, ICF, when it started, probably had a more single cultural element in mind. Humor can be a very tricky thing in different cultures, and EMCC, when started to build the competence framework, had in mind something like 27 odd countries in Europe with 27 different senses of humor. So that was kind of left outside for that kind of reason. The other thing on the personal development, the truth is that we identified a difference between ICF and EMCC, since we do have two specific competencies relating to personal development. That said, the philosophy of ICF does not have it as a competence, as a separate competence, but it was there in the philosophy of ICF. It was there in the process of reaccrediting oneself, renewing knowledge, reshaping the professional future of the coach, because advancing as a professional does have an element of personal development. So the difference was a difference when it comes to specific competence, but that was about it. Same goes for one more thing that we had identified. Rather two. One is not a competence, but I would like to mention it. One relating to competence was around evaluation. The evaluation, as understood in EMCC, has to do with the evaluation that the coach does at two levels, or even three, when there is corporate, when there is a corporate client. So it's the evaluation and the feedback of the coachee to the coach on the experience and the work they did together. The other level is the evaluation of the coach is doing with the sponsor, in case we have an organization paying for the coaching. So is the coachee and the sponsor together evaluating the effectiveness of the coaching program? And is the evaluation, the individual evaluation in the sense of reflection that the coach does about his own work? Again, in the case of ICF, and Amora, correct me if I'm wrong, there it's there. It's there in the way things work. It's not identified as a separate necessarily competence, but it's there. That was one thing. The other thing, that the language was different between the two organizations, but I think ICF is moving to new things around that was supervision. Was mentor coaching.
No. Don't bring up that word.
Sorry.
Just kidding.
Sorry, I'm not following.
It's a joke. Our last forum call was a very, very passionate discussion about supervision. So
right. What I only want to say, without firing up any passions, is that when we talk about supervision, is about the is the improvement on the technical skills of the coach, but also discussion about his cases and elements of personal development. That was slightly different at the time, but I think there are more things happening around supervision in ICF. Maybe I'm not the expert person to talk about that. So I think that's it. I don't know, Amora, anything else?
I think you've captured it well, Maria Alexia. I think the other piece too, that is different, and that I know in the discussions that that I've been helping to inform within ICF over the years, is about in the credentialing. One big difference in the credentialing process, I think, between the two systems or frameworks is the idea of the demonstration of the coaching. And so ICF remains committed at the global board level to that element. It's fine to do case studies, it's fine to do writing about your own approach to coaching, and there's a strong feeling within the ICF board that oral demonstration is an important element and component of guaranteeing one of those three objectives, or several of those, all of those three objectives, actually, to protect the consumer and also to really vet the practitioner, so that the credential that the practitioner carries has meaning out in the world. They know that person has been vetted, evaluated by peers, And it can really not only speak about this modality, but actually hands-on demonstrate it and do it, apply it with their clients. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big difference.
In our case, by today, there is the addition of an interview process over and above the reflective practice in terms of the accreditation applications. So there is a kind of live, not in the form of demonstration, but definitely an engagement with the assessors when it comes to the technical skills via structured interview. Mm-hmm.
And that's something new, isn't it, Maria Alexia? Was that part of that wasn't
yes.
there when
that's a years old. That's a years old.
Okay,
yes.
cool.
Yeah.
Great. And I want to get to open this up to everybody because I'm sure they have some questions and reflections. One of the things that comes to me with that description, you're talking about, you know, one of the differences in the frameworks is the personal development of a coach, which is sort of implicit or not really explicitly included in the ICF framework. I'm curious how that is assessed in the MCC framework, and that's one of the capability markers, the personal development of the coach. How is that assessed?
Sorry. I had muted myself. How is that assessed? Mm-hmm. Let me try and understand the question. Well, it is assessed in the same process that all the other competencies are assessed. Mm-hmm. So the person has to explicitly show through reflective practice what has been done, what he or she has undertaken in order to improve, to develop personally, not to improve, to develop personally at the level required for the accreditation level he or she is applying. Mm-hmm. So I could let's say, give you some examples. When we talk about understanding self, the person has to demonstrate awareness of the own values, beliefs, and behaviors, and recognize how these affect their practice, and use this self-awareness to manage the effectiveness of the meeting or of a coaching session, I would rather say. So depending on the different levels of accreditation, we do have either the need for someone to just be aware at foundation level, or up to much higher levels of being totally knowledgeable of exact beliefs or values of their own that might interfere with the coaching process, and they need to have established a whole separate process to manage that, so to avoid this interference. But this is up to senior practitioner even. So it's things like that someone has to show, has to reflect upon what have they done to make this feasible? What have they done to bring this to life? How have they worked to be aware of their own belief system that might or might not interfere with the coaching process? So they have to show it 95% of times. It's not just a description. They have to show it through a case study.
That's really great. I love that. Okay, I have one more. I'm going to be greedy. I have one more question, and then I'm going to open it up to the rest of the audience here. You guys alluded to it a little bit in your discussions at the beginning, you know, that the frameworks are constantly being reviewed and refreshed and making sure that they are representative of what people are out there doing. And I know there's been some talk, we've had some speakers on this call, about introducing cultural competency into the ICF's framework and how best to do that. And I wonder if there's any commentary that either of you could make on any changes that have been contemplated maybe in that realm, cultural competence, or any other realm where you see that there's a movement towards making some changes, subtle or otherwise, to the frameworks. Amora, do you want to go first?
Well, I'll say, Hallie, in that particular piece has not been brought to my attention in any of my roles within ICF currently. So I'm not sure that that is on the radar yet. I have a feeling that with the job analysis work that's going to be done this year, that will probably surface. Mm-hmm. And also what's happening in the field, you know, when we look at what's happening in the field, that it will also surface. But it has not been, at least in my experience, it hasn't been a topic of discussion as yet, at least not at the levels that I have been privy to.
Right. I think it's maybe more the philosophical.
It also came into play, too, in the assessor pool, you know, as coaching has grown over the last 20 years, that, you know, being able to be assessed in your native language, for example, and, you know, how do we as assessors, when we're listening to someone who is coaching in English as a second language, what kinds of factors do we want to take into account as we're listening to that session in order to give the broadest view, I guess I would say, of how is that coach demonstrating what they're doing. So, you know, I know as an assessor, when I listen to someone who's coaching in English as their second language, I'm always factoring in, okay, you know, how much of this is style, how much of this is maybe a little more limited vocabulary that may be informing this interaction right now. So those are things that I know I always discussed with my fellow assessors when we were co-assessing, was, okay, what of this might be contributed to English as a second language? So I know that that has been in the background. I don't know that it's come to the foreground as yet.
Yeah, I think we probably have Terry on this call, Terry Malbia. And I think it's a conversation. Is that him coming forward here? Anyway, I won't harp on it. Mayor Alexia, have you got any response?
Yeah.
Changes?
Well, I'll talk from experience. Not that I'm aware of anything specifically, but because of the nature of Europe, let's put it this way, we have been training assessors that can observe a session that they can review an application in different languages. So one is that. So somehow the cultural factor gets into the game because we are training assessors from different languages. Mm-hmm. We do have also countries, we do have what we call the licensed countries. So countries that not only have assessors in the local language, but also through a process of EMCC, they have been taking the accreditation process manuals and everything, and they have translated it. So this is a licensed country. They can do it in their own language. And there are processes to put firewalls and safety in terms of having always the same quality output. The fact remains that the countries are quite a few, and we don't have the density of applications to always have local languages. So many, many times we do have people that are doing applications or are assessing applications with English being the second or third even language. The work that I know that is happening is to make sure, how can I put this, that we neutralize English. English as a language, and especially when it comes to British English, does have some cultural element in it. And there has been work that is not changing the core elements of the framework, of course, but to fine-tune the wordings to avoid nuances of English that don't make sense in any other languages when translated. So things like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing major, but this is how the cultural element gets into the game.
Got it. Thank you. Okay. So I would love to open
Allie, just real quick, Eliana said she had some information around this.
Okay.
I talked with Damien. Hi, everybody. I talked with Damien last time he comes to Brazil. And we talk a little about this cultural competency. Mm-hmm. And as far I understood, this competency is about, for example, I'm going to give you a sample. In Brazil, we don't go very direct. It's like it's not polite. So the direct communication, for example, has to be a little less direct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to think about this cultural differences, because even when I am less direct in Portuguese, I'm very direct, but people who speak English can't see this directness, if I can say. Mm-hmm. So it's and they are thinking, as far as I understood, ICF is thinking to have something about this, not only for the assessment, but also for the coach understand the differences from cultures. So when I'm going to coach someone from Singapore, I have another approach. So, okay, and this is a competency. I know how to approach each culture. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. I want to open up the floor. People have comments or questions that they want to add into the conversation about competency frameworks or any of the differences between the MCC and ICF frameworks, go for it. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Howie. The more I coach, the more I place a value on silence and, as we would say, holding a space or a pause for reflection. In interpreting the ICF competencies, there really is no space for that space. Any conversation or discussion about the value of silence and pausing?
As it pertains to the competency language, Terry, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, both in the ICF, Amoran and Mari Alexia in the EMCC.
I don't. I'll speak to what I'm aware of in the competency language. For me, it's not implicit, but I know in my work as a mentor coach, it's something, and as a coach trainer, it's something that I absolutely encourage and invite the students to step into, because it's a very valuable tool. I think it's inherent in the competency language around coaching presence and trust and intimacy. I don't think it's explicit, and perhaps the explicitness of that could be incorporated as we look at, you know, as ICF continues to look at the job analysis and what's going on in the field to see what needs to be revised and or added. As we move forward, you know, as I've talked with the founding members of ICF, for example, they often refer to those early days that they were building the bicycle while they were riding it. And so I think what happens sometimes is pieces are invisible because they're so inherent in the process that they miss getting articulated. So I think you're bringing forward a very good point that might be interesting to look at in the languaging as we review and revise.
This is Nadine, and I just want to add to this that it's actually explicit in the ICF markers for competency 5, active listening. Coach is quiet and gives client time to think.
Thank you, Nadine, yeah.
That's the new PCC markers that you're referring to, Nadine?
Right.
Got it.
That's correct.
How does the EMCC?
Well, I think it is exactly the same through the requirements around active listening, both in the area of building the relationship, and more importantly, the other competence of enabling insight and learning. That can only happen through allowing the space to the client to talk and to have the stage for himself or herself. So it is also explicit in the EMCC, and Nadine brought it forward. I was about to say, because I have been trained by some very expert people in Coach U and also by Yamura. And if something one can say about ICF is that the stage is left to the client explicitly, and silence is one of the most strong competencies at the end of the day in ICF as well.
All right. And we are practicing it now. So who else has a question or a comment in this arena? Got it. Unique opportunity here with people from all over the world who are doing
I'm not familiar with the European ICF, not the European ICF, but
EMCC,
yes. And I would like to have the competencies and have them translated to Portuguese. So we can go with a group study here with my other teachers of my program. If it is possible, how can I get it?
Well, it's available in EMCC website. The whole framework is there, available to everybody, because everybody can have access to the free area of EMCC where the framework is located under accreditation services. But when it comes to Portuguese translation, I'm afraid that's one of the countries, because we are a bit rather small in Portugal yet, I don't think there is a Portuguese version.
Okay, thank you. And you allow me to translate it?
Well, I think if you send a note, we can definitely forward it to the VP standards of EMCC and get the ball rolling.
Okay.
I cannot speak for him, but I can only say I can forward the message.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
I would like to comment something. I'm not sure you can hear me.
Yep. Thanks, Raj. Go for it.
In my opinion, the coaching core competencies from the ICF are quite by the present people. I don't know much about the EMCC coaching competencies. It looks to me that there's difference between them, that in ICF we're addressing skills and abilities, and in MCC is more meta competencies. And I understand meta competencies and competencies that are a little bit farther than just a competency. When I compare, for example, personal development, it is not only a skill, but it is something I consider it as a meta competency. So my question to the audience and also to the speakers is, if we consider that those competencies, either ICF competencies or EMCC competencies, are unchangeable, or can we engage into discussions to develop them?
Well, I'll speak for what I know ICF is planning, and that is there's another job analysis process that is going to be underway this year. And part of that is a survey that will go out to all members about what you're doing and what you see as gaps in any of the skills or competencies and the languaging of those. So yes, absolutely. And ICF has always been a member-driven organization, inviting people to dialogue and making sure that any committees or task forces were made up of a wide array of representative members and member cultures and countries. So absolutely, you know, get involved, volunteer, take part in the discussions, whether it's at a regional conference or at the global level on a committee or a task force.
Thank you.
Well, I can only say the same about EMCC. Nothing is unchangeable, especially in this dynamic and still new profession. EMCC is researching, again, competencies with our members and professional coaches. So it's going to be within this year at some point we're going to have the results that we'll see how they affect the current framework. Just a small point of clarification, respecting that your view is that understanding self and commitment to self-development is kind of a meta-competence. Well, I do respect that, but other than that, again, we're talking about a competence framework that is based on skills and capability indicators, professional capability indicators, but just as a clarification point.
And I think I'd like to say something else too, and that is, Suraj, in the re-credentialing process within those 40 continuing education units that are required every 3 years, only 28 of those need to be in core competency development. The rest of them are about the personal development of the coach, resource development for the coach. So there is, again, inherent in the ICF process, credentialing process, this idea of personal development as well. Even though it's not explicit yet in that way, it has always been a part of the framework of the re-credentialing process, for example.
I find it interesting, I've heard a couple conversations about the MCC framework and the idea of self-reflection, and it's interesting to me that I actually think the fact that ICF does oral performance evaluations actually drives a lot of how the framework's put together, because you have to be able to actually demonstrate those markers and capabilities in actually performing coaching, whereas the EMCC framework, because it isn't driven by that demonstration, it allows it to open up what's included in the framework quite a bit more, because it's not isolated to that demonstration. And that, both are great, and I think the ICF includes it in different ways, but I think that part of, and what ICF is very, very proud of, that they still have the oral performance evaluation, is actually driving a lot of how they structure the competencies.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to add something about the oral demonstration, and that is that, let me see. Well, I've lost it. So go ahead, Maria Alexia. It'll come back.
I'm sure it will. What I only wanted to say is that when we worked in this project team, we did find several similarities. That said, its framework does have in its heart the philosophy of the association it represents. So there are some elements that are different or similar, both for very good reasons. Mm-hmm. So I hear you, what you say, totally. There will be improvements. You introduced things, not you, ICF introduced new things. As I said before, in supervision, we introduced new things as I said before, like interviews, because we are trying to learn and improve. And it's a very positive thing that we are trying to learn from each other. And I'm talking as a professional now, to see that there are no silos between such major organizations is great. At the same time, we do have philosophies that are represented in our frameworks. And yes, that's why you see the more reflective practice in EMCC and more the oral bit in ICF. And in my view, and that's very personal, I cannot talk about what is better than the other. It's just different because it comes from a different perspective, but it serves the same purpose of establishing that the professional who is accredited is a true professional. One way or the other, that's the end result.
End result, yes. And the consumer is protected, and the practitioner is fairly vetted. So I agree, you know, and I think a combination of both is important. What I wanted to say about the oral exam is back in 2010 when we were looking at what are some of the ANSI standards, for example, to qualify as a profession, everybody kept telling us that you can't have an oral demonstration as part of it. It just has never been done. It hasn't been done well. And I and the ICF board said, we will be the ones who will find a way. And so this is a pioneering piece. And the new markers are all about how do we take an oral demonstration process and make it as objective as possible. And that's one of the purposes behind the markers and the assessor training that's going on right now around the markers, is to help open up that oral demonstration process to more objectivity. There still has to be some subjectivity. However, the process is being evolved, and I think we can be proud as ICF members that ICF is sticking with pioneering this and not taking the naysayers at their word and saying, oh, you can't include that and be a profession. We don't believe that. We haven't believed that all along.
That's great. We had one question. I think we have time for it. Janice was asking, she wonders how behavioral science research might be used to build and revise the competencies. If there's anything I'm going to imply in that, you know, neuroscience, that kind of thing. If there's anything happening in that realm.
Absolutely. ICF has ongoing research all the time about what are the latest sciences and information on adult learning, and looking at how do we incorporate that into our processes, into our competencies. Before a lot of that came out, you know, ICF was sponsoring and paying for research into adult learning and how does this particular approach to adult learning, how does it work? What makes it effective? So there's been research within ICF and then also paying attention. I know that the board is paying attention to neuroscience, you know, all of the bodies of knowledge that are evolving out there and how they impact our work as coaches.
That's great.
Maybe I'm not the best person. If the research person was here, you would have a much better answer. But I do know that all the latest developments in behavioral science and neuroscience are kind of taken into account into this study they are doing at the moment. That's as much as I know, but I know that it is in.
Great. Anybody else? We got time for one more comment or question, I think.
Hallie, Terry both had raised her hand.
Sorry. Go ahead, Terry.
It's a very specific question. I was asking, I don't know whether EMCC has any mandatory ethics training or testing for getting the credential renewed, please.
Well, first of all, in all credential and recredential process, there is a sign-off of an ethics letter that has to happen. And in all coaching schools, those under EQA, that we call it, an award for EMCC that they are kind of checked, There is always a section in the first courses about ethics and code of ethics and code of conduct, which, by the way, it's as you know, by the GCMA activity, we are with ICF and the Association for Coaching, that we do have a common code of conduct by now, the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. Hallie, I'm very sorry. I'm running my last 3 minutes. I apologize, but to the hour, I will have to go.
Yes, and I think that's our goal too. So okay. With that, I'm just going to shut this down, and I'm going to give Annette a few moments after this, but I wanted to thank both Amora and Mara Alexia so much for being here today and bringing your wealth of experience in this area to our call. Thank you so much.
Well, I really thank you for being here and being invited in this call. I have never been with you in ACTO. Thank you very much. Honored to be here.
And thank you too, Hallie, from me. I really appreciate it. And it's good to be back in the ACTO community after being gone for a while. But nice to see everybody. Thanks. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you. Bye.
Right. Annette, do you have a few words to say?
I do. Thank you again to both of you. And just wanted to remind you about our conference coming up Wednesday, May 6th to Saturday, May 9th in Orlando, Florida. Our theme is Tending the Fire, Catching New Sparks. So you can see, you can find that on our website at actoonline.org.
Right. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.